is 6:04 in the Fast Lane. Your time check brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. Brad Barnes, Chris Ronji, Randy Carricker. BT is out today. We do have, with all due respect, coming up in a moment, send in your text to the Hot Shots text line at 65780. Before we get to with all due respect, though, people love their pets and will spend thousands of dollars to save them. At North Carolina State University, veterinarians are going above and beyond to save all the animals. And we mean all the animals, even goldfish. One vet said, "I don't really think twice about it. I just think, this is Teddy, or this is Lucky, or Tulip, or Bubbles, and they're a part of the family, and I'm going to do my best to help that animal and the owner." The care ranges from medication, tests, and even surgery for some patients. As you can imagine, it can be costly. One doctor said, "We've certainly had owners spend $1,000 to $2,000 on a pet goldfish." What? There is a real bond that people form with their pet fish. Not everybody, but a lot of people do.
How do you save a goldfish after you flush it?
That's a great question. I don't know. I guess people are not flushing them. They're taking them to the vet for a $2,000 surgery for the little fella or gal.
Dude.
Little Tulip or Bubbles or Lucky or Teddy.
How do you, what do? You perform surgery on a goldfish? What do you
under
do?
A microscope, yeah.
Is that possible?
I think it's called filleting.
Buddy, there's not enough meat to eat one of those things. You got to eat them whole.
If you're tiny.
Randy, how much would it take for you to eat a live goldfish? Bare minimum amount of money to swallow a live goldfish.
$10.
$10? You would not swallow a live goldfish
$10. For you?
No, you wouldn't.
Ronji, I got a tattoo. How much did you pay me for my tattoo?
But that was a thing you started over years, and it became a whole thing, a movement. This is not a movement.
If
this
the
is
Blues
just...
win another Stanley Cup, I will swallow a goldfish whole at no charge.
Now, we're going to... Hold on a second. We're going to have a whole thing here with PETA.
Oh, people eating tasty animals.
Yes.
Goldfish, I'm sure are.
Yeah. If you eat a live goldfish, there's going to be a problem. So,
just because
okay.
I eat it doesn't mean I'm killing it.
Well, kind of.
No. Like when sharks and I wish there were people for the ethical treatment of people. People, what would it be? PETA? People for the ethical
treatment of people.
Treatment of people. PETA, yeah. Because sometimes sharks eat people whole.
They do, but you can't. I mean, the shark has got a one track
mind.
Who's
protecting us, though, from the shark? It's not PETA, I'll tell you that.
Just stay out of their home and you won't get bitten. Anyway, you're not going to eat a goldfish live. How about a freshly dead one?
No, won't do that.
Okay.
No. Ronj, the president of St. Luke's Hospital is David Pate. And he is a guy who grew up in Texas, loved barbecue, and he loved Bluebell ice cream. But he had knee problems, and one of the doctors at St. Luke's told him that he should quit eating meat and he should become a vegan. So PETA likes Dr. Pate. Dr. Pate finished his blog explaining how he became a vegan by saying, "And all you Texans out there should know that life not only goes on without steak and Bluebell ice cream, but it can actually improve. With all due respect, maybe in Texas, but not in Missouri."
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, man.
Love you, Dr. Pate. Congratulations, too.
That's nice.
Lost a bunch of weight, and he had a knee replacement, and he's rolling now.
Man, not having to eat meat, or not getting to, would be just really difficult.
Yeah. Lost 26.8 pounds in a month.
Well, it's clearly healthier. It's not even a question about that, but it would just be tough to do, I think. Last night during the Cardinals broadcast, our good friends Dan McLaughlin and Brad Thompson were having a conversation about versatility of fielding players in the National League, and that if the designated hitter came over to the NL, there would not be that same sort of versatility. And the person they used, or Dan used, to illustrate that was Ben Zobrist and his use, the way Joe Maddon used him for the Cubs. And highlighting that he had been versatile for them playing multiple positions, and that if the DH again came to the NL, that would be absent from the game. With all due respect, the Tampa Bay Rays had a guy from 2009 to 2015 who played multiple positions over the course of his career there. His name was Ben Zobrist. He played 547 games at second, 331 in right, 221 at short. He played 38 in left, 34 in center, 17 at first, and he played 4 games at third base. So versatility does exist with the DH in the American League. It's just a completely different game. You don't have the David Ortiz types as much anymore where they just play one position. Mm-hmm. It's the DH, and they never do anything else in the field. It's a whole lot different now.
With all due respect.
With all due respect, of course.
Big Sis, what do you got for us?
With all due respect, the Cardinals are not winning the World Series this year, so why give up a good prospect for a rental pitcher?
Oh, yeah. This is that 2011 person, isn't it?
Well, I don't think they will.
Why give up a good player like Colby Rasmus for a rental pitcher like Octavio Dotel? Yeah, why should we do that? Because we'll never win the World Series. Oh, they did? Sorry.
Well, only if you're giving up Colby Rasmus.
Said with all due respect.
With all due respect. I don't think they're going to. They're not going to do the rental thing if they're giving up much value. I don't think.
If you could trade for a high-quality rental reliever, if you could move Harrison Bader.
By high quality, do you mean a closer?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no to that.
Okay.
I don't know what Bader's going to be, honestly. I really don't.
I don't either.
I think he can play the field very well. But as an offensive guy, I don't really know.
I thought that he would be able to be a poor man's George Springer. I don't know about that now.
See, to me, if I felt like this team was just stacked in the rotation, right? Mm-hmm. Like 1 through 5, they're strong. Their bullpen's pretty good, except for that one missing piece. And their lineup is going to be nails for the rest of the season. And that one thing I need is the back end of the bullpen guy, and Harrison Bader gets it for me. Then I think I'd be willing to take that chance, but not right now.
With all due respect, steak is overrated.
What in
the
hell?
Said with all due respect.
Maybe one of the worst texts we've ever
that
had.
That is. Hey, he did say with all due respect, so.
Never forget.
Hmm.
This is messed up. From the Hotshot text line, 65780. With all due respect, I really enjoy crop dusting people at the supermarket.
What the?
What is wrong with people?
That is.
Don't do that.
That's an interesting thing to do.
It is. So you like get your airplane and as they're walking
no,
in?
No, Randy, it's not that kind of crop dust.
Oh.
Trust me, you'd probably rather be in the field when that plane came overhead than the kind of crop dust we're talking about.
Okay.
And with all due respect, Tyler O'Neill should be used in a trade if the Cardinals can get a quality pitcher.
Well, if it's a starter and somebody they get after this year, I think I'm down for that.
Yeah, if it's a controllable person.
Yep.
And you're planning on at least making an effort to keep Marcell Ozuna around.
Yeah.
I think that'd be smart. Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for your text to the Hot Shots text line, 65780.
There's a texter who says the goldfish can get pretty big, the size of a koi fish. Oh, now that's
delicious.
A pretty good-sized fish, which means you'd have to chew.
Oh, that's not the kind of goldfish we're talking about, though. We're talking about
the little one.
Yeah.
You just swallow it whole, exactly. Like a pill.
Yeah, nobody could eat a koi fish whole.
How much would it take to eat a koi fish?
I wouldn't do that.
$1 billion right now, Randy, eat a koi fish live.
Okay, if I see the cash, give me a suitcase full of...
Okay, so you would for the right price.
Yeah.
$100 million.
No, a billion.
It's got to be a billion?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
We'll see if we can make that happen. GoFundMe. Somebody start one.
The Atlantic League has been testing out the robotic umpire since the All-Star break, and it sounds like they can't get enough of it. That's next on 101 ESPN. I think if you're a baseball fan, you almost have to like the idea of the robot home plate umpire, don't you? According to ESPN, the Atlantic League, became the first American professional baseball league to let a computer call balls and strikes at its All-Star game earlier this month. Plate umpire Brian DeBrawware wore an earpiece connected to an iPhone in his pocket and relayed the call upon receiving it from a TrackMan computer system that uses Doppler radar. He crouched in his normal position behind the catcher and signaled balls and strikes. The testing phase was supposed to begin at the start of the season, but it faced delays. After the All-Star break, the league expanded the technology across its ballparks. The umpires still have control. The umpires have the ability to override the computer, which could consider a pitch a strike when the ball bounces and then crosses the zone. TrackMan also does not evaluate check swings. So that's an issue, but check swings generally are called by the first or third base umpires anyway. But the fact that it's coming and it's happening is a positive for me. And at some point, they'll get it right. I only hope, Ronj, that when they do implement this technology, that they do so with the strike zone as it is written in the rule book.
They do have to find a way to make it static as well. If we're going to go letters to the hollow of the knee, which is, I believe, what the actual letter of the law is, but it doesn't get called that way. I mean, generally it gets called belt to knees.
Right.
So the hitter clearly has an advantage in those moments, which I think actually in a way slows the game down because hitters can wait for that walk now. If it isn't just right above the belt. Now, you know, or if you were to change it and make sure that umpires called it the way it's supposed to be called, more balls are getting put into play, which means you're going to have more offense, but you're also going to get the out quicker.
Yep.
You know, sometimes there's not going to be this constant 3-2 count situation of a guy trying to milk a walk. So I think that's a really good idea. But in the way you line this whole thing out, that the umpire still has the ability to overrule the computer, there need to be some really stringent rules here with that, because it can't be a thing where a pitch comes straight in, the umpire's like, well, I know better than this computer, so I'm going to call it the way I see it. It's got to be, you can only override the computer on a ball that bounces and then hits the strike zone. It's got to be,
because you're going to have Angel Hernandez trying to be bigger than
Joe
the
West.
Game.
Yep. These are guys who are just notoriously about making the game about themselves. But I am all about the idea of taking as much from the umpires as possible.
League President Rick White of the Atlantic League said, "This is a landmark day for the Atlantic League and professional baseball. After successfully unveiling the automated ball strike system at our All-Star game in York, Pennsylvania, and following positive feedback from managers, players, umpires, and fans, we are eager to implement the consistent strike zone accuracy offered by ABS technology." The surprising thing to me there, Ronj, is that there was positive feedback from the umpires. And maybe they don't want to be second-guessed, and down at that level, they can get into arguments with the home plate umpire, even with balls and strikes, or they can get into arguments with a manager who disagrees. Now, say, it's not me. This is a computer that's calling this.
Well, I think umpires overall have gotten used to the idea of replay the way it's being used now. At the major league level. They don't mind it. They don't mind getting a call correct. Originally, the thought was, well, they're going to feel insulted if a manager comes out and says, "Nah, let's review that call." It takes out for them the argument. It takes out the ability of the manager to come out to second base and scream at you for missing a call at the bag. He would rather get that call right and not have you in his face for the next 2 or 3 minutes. I think they would rather do it that way, because there's nothing to argue about when they go to the side. They put on those headphones, and then New York tells them whatever the call should be, because that's it. There's nobody to argue with, and I think the umpires like it that way.
The other cool thing about the way that it's implemented is that as fans sitting in the stands or watching on TV, we won't notice any change at all, except for, hopefully, the changed Fox box or ESPN zone or whatever it is, which would be unofficial at that point. But aside from that, we're going to see the umpire call balls and strikes like he always has.
Right.
So I think that part of it is good, that we'll have a dramatic change, but we won't even notice it, except for the fact that it's so much more consistent and better.
Do you think, and maybe it's really not necessary, I don't know why I'm thinking of it like this, as if an umpire would overrule the call and there wouldn't be any consequences for it, but I was wondering if there should be some kind of mechanical indication on the field, like a like a little green light that goes off if it's a strike. You know, just so we can see on TV if the umpire is calling according to what the computer's telling him.
Yeah, that'd be good.
I mean, I don't, maybe it's not necessary, because if the umpire starts to say, no, I'm just doing it whatever, however I want to, he's going to get reprimanded, right?
Yeah.
You would hope.
Yeah, and you're going to have a human up there with the computer.
And I do know this. I think there are, from all the people I have spoken to in the last several years, and maybe since like 2017, the technology has improved even more. In fact, I know it's improved. I just don't know to what degree. But every time I had ever talked to anybody who knows a lot about this stuff, people who cover it and they know more about the technology, every one of them would say it's just not ready yet, that it's not as reliable as you think it is. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how it can be less reliable. And again, I don't know the inner workings of these systems, but I don't know how it can be less reliable than a 65-year-old guy behind the plate sometimes guessing.
No,
I can't. I don't know. Right. So it feels like it would be easier and better to get this right.
And one of the things that Joe Torre says is that he prefers personally, and he knows a lot of people that prefer the human element, which essentially is telling us that we prefer mistakes over getting it right.
I like a good manager-umpire argument every now and then. I do not like it at the expense of my team being up in the ninth inning with the tying run at second base and two out in the inning and a 1-1 pitch getting called a strike when it was clearly not a strike, which changes the entire at-bat. Because the way you approach 2-1 versus 1-2 as a hitter is incredibly different. And if you get a pitch called outside the zone a strike, you're going to be chasing again because you don't want to stand there with the bat on your shoulder and have strike three go right by you. So you're going to chase at a bad pitch. I would rather trade the stupid arguments for that.
I would too.
I will take getting that call right in a big moment when it doesn't screw my team.
In addition to the automated ball strike system, the Atlantic League is also trying steal of first. Batters can try to steal first base on any pitch that was not caught in flight. It expands the traditional drop third strike rule to all pitches, and batters can be thrown out if they try to run. So if there's a pitch that goes to the backstop and just stops there, you can run to first base.
Now, this is one we've talked about already when we first heard about it a couple of weeks ago. At this point, I kind of don't hate it. I don't know if I want them to do it
like
at the big
idea.
League. I don't know if I want them yet to do it at the big league level, but I'm definitely open to it. I like that because, first of all, I don't think it's going to affect that many plays. Because if you look at a lot of the wild pitches that happen, the guy still gets thrown out at first when he's trying to get there. So you're not going to have a whole lot of hitters who are willing to take that risk. You know, they'll see the ball go to the backstop, but then they'll think twice about running to first.
You better be able to run, and you better be a guy who hustles.
And you better know, because if you take that chance and you get thrown out, you got a whole team mad at you. So I don't really think it's going to affect that much, but for the times it does, that'd be pretty exciting.
Also, in the Atlantic League, there's a relaxation on check swings to be more batter-friendly every single time they go around, every single time. 100% of the time. So if the umpire at first or third is called on to determine whether or not the batter went around, he did.
That's what they usually...
Yeah, and that's the way it should be.
Well, I mean, that's not what they're wanting here, right? They want it the opposite.
No, it's going to be more batter friendly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know if they need to do something with that.
And then pitchers are required, this is kind of enforcement of a rule, are now required to step off the rubber when they try a pickoff.
That I don't really understand all that much.
Yeah, I don't know how you're ever going to pick anybody off.
Is it? I don't know. Maybe it's because I don't really know exactly what the intent is.
And I guess you have to disengage completely from the rubber.
Is it because they're trying to open up the run game a little bit more, or is it they want to stop all of the stepping off that slows down the game? Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
So those are what's going on in minor league baseball. In major league baseball, we're a little over a week away from the trade deadline. And at The Athletic, they have some ideas about what might happen. That's next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. All right, so what trades are going to happen in baseball? Jim Bowden at The Athletic writes that both Tampa and the Cubs would like to get another right-handed hitter and a reliever, and they both match up well with the Rangers, Royals, and Tigers for that type of trade. The Rangers are dangling Hunter Pence and right-handed reliever Sean Kelly. The Royals will, Bowden says, at least listen to offers for Whit Merrifield and Jake Diekman, the left-handed reliever. And the Tigers have been shopping Nicholas Castellanos and Shane Green. As we've heard before, the Royals are asking for three major league-ready prospects in exchange for Merrifield. Both of those teams, Ronge, I think the Rays and the Cubs would get their best value from making a deal with the Tigers for Castellanos and Green.
Yeah, Castellanos is somebody that I know the Cubs have been talking about now. Well, people around them have been talking about for the last several days. And especially with Merrifield not really looking like an option. I know what Kansas City said a few weeks ago, that they're just not interested in making that deal, which doesn't mean they won't do it. It just means, like you said, they want a ton to make that happen. Detroit seems to be in the position where they would be more willing to part with one of these guys for not as high of a price. And, you know, if I'm the Cubs who need to make something happen, I think the Rays want to as well. I just don't know how aggressive Tampa Bay feels like it needs to be. They're never really that aggressive when it comes to the trade deadline. I don't think they feel the heat from the fan base, quite honestly, and that's probably a lot to do with it. But I do think you're right. I think the Tigers probably offer the best value here.
And I wonder what the best chip is for Chicago. I wonder how Ian Happ is regarded around baseball, because at the beginning of the season, if the Cubs were going to make an offer for Whit Merrifield, Ian Happ would probably lead that.
Yes.
And because he can play second base, and that you'd probably have another pitcher in there as well. Happ has not had a good year, so I don't know how he's perceived around baseball now. And the Cubs don't have an awful lot of young pitching. They're having trouble. Well, they bring Cole Hamels back tonight, and they're rushing him back because they just don't have enough major league ready young starting pitching. Now, Bowden points out that the Rays farm system is a lot stronger than the Cubs. So if the two get into a bidding war for the same package, that the Rays would probably win that. Now, Bowden also says the two starting pitchers who are most likely to be traded appear to be Marcus Stroman of the Blue Jays and Mike Minor of the Rangers. A group of teams, the Yankees, Twins, Astros, Phillies, A's, and Brewers, have all at least inquired on both of them. Matthew Boyd of the Tigers is also available, he says, but the asking price is astronomical, though, of course, that could change in the next 9 days. I don't think it will on Boyd, who has 3 years of control left for Detroit.
The Tigers should do really well here at this trade deadline as far as acquiring pieces. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they're looking at it the way you saw the Cubs look at it 5 years ago, the way you saw the White Sox look at it a couple of years ago, where they and the Padres have even done that, where they were just into acquiring as much talent as they could possibly get. And it's got to be high-end premium talent. I don't know if that's what the Tigers are going to be insisting on, but Boyd should be able to get something like that. I think now he should anyway. But all this, where we're talking about it, I don't see, from the Cardinals' perspective, being able to match up for something like that. It's not going to be a significant move.
And in the environment that we're in right now in baseball, how many teams will actually make that move? I would argue that it's probably two. It's probably the Yankees and the Dodgers, teams that are willing to give up young talent because they think that what they get can put them over the top and get them to win the World Series this year. Is there anybody else? I don't think even Houston will do it.
No, because I think because they've had the World Series recently, there's not that pressure to make it happen. And they know they've got a pretty good young team outside of guys like Justin Verlander. They've got a good young core that they can hang on to forever and be competitive. They don't have to overextend. Mm-hmm. And the Yankees don't even really have to either if they don't want to.
But they can.
Yeah. And so they probably, you might as well. They haven't won a World Series in how many years?
2009.
Okay, well, for them, that feels like an eternity.
Yeah.
And so if they can push here and be aggressive, knowing the bullpen they've got, outside of any injuries, outside of any issues, they're still in terrific shape. So I can absolutely see them being aggressive here. And the Dodgers are desperate to win a World Series, right? Because look at them. You know, look how many good teams they've had in the last decade, and they just can't. They can't get over that hump in the playoffs. They have to be operating that way.
And they are, because of their expenditures in international money. They have a lot of young talent, not only major league ready, but they've got lower level talent that they can move as well. Bode writes that Trevor Bauer of the Indians and Noah Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler of the Mets are names that continue to get bandied about. But he writes, I still find it hard to believe that any of them will actually get traded.
Well, Wheeler's on the injured list, and I don't see, and what was it, shoulder fatigue?
Right.
No one's going to trade for a guy with shoulder fatigue at this point of the season, if that's what they're calling it, and he's on the injured list, because shoulder fatigue a lot of times leads to, I need shoulder surgery. So no one's going to give up much for Zach Wheeler. You might have a team that'll say, look, I'll take him off your hands, but I'm not giving you much in return.
And Bowden writes about the Giants, saying that they're probably the most intriguing team right now, and how they play over the next 8 days is expected to determine whether they decide to sell on Bumgarner, Will Smith, Tony Watson, and Sam Dyson. Smith has been one of the most in-demand relievers so far this summer. The Braves, Phillies, Nationals, Cardinals, Brewers, Cubs, Dodgers, Red Sox, Astros, and Twins have all had conversations with the Giants about Will Smith.
A lot of teams need relief pitching this time of year, and some of the teams on that list are teams that have actual playoff hopes. And I don't mean just get to the postseason. I'm talking about make deep runs in the playoffs. I think the Braves certainly think that of themselves. The Nationals, if I'm the Nats, I'm going to be aggressive here too. Because same sort of thing as the Dodgers. They've put together a lot of good teams over the last 8 to 10 years, and they've got not a whole lot to show for it, so they might as well. The Brewers, I don't really understand how they operate, because they're not nearly as aggressive as they should be. Dodgers, Cubs, Red Sox, Twins, maybe even. But you're looking at a lot of teams that are going to be aggressive in trying to get, I think, a reliever at least. So the market for the Cardinals is going to be pretty tough here.
And I read one, I'm going to call it an opinion, this morning that suggested the Red Sox might, rather than be buyers, might be sellers. They might be smart enough to realize that they aren't good enough to be a world champion again this year, and they have some pretty nice pieces that if J.D. Martinez is going to opt out, they don't know. Maybe you move a guy like J.D. Martinez, or maybe you move a Rick Porcello who's going to be a free agent after this
year.
And
that's a really smart idea for them, if you think about it, because you're not – if you're Boston, you're still in pretty good shape if you do what that suggestion was, to the point where maybe within a year or two, you're right back there.
Right.
It wouldn't be a tear down and we'll see you in 5 years. That's not what Boston's going to do.
Because
they're in much better
shape. Price, and you're going to have Sale. You're going to have Betts. You're going to have Benintendi. If you want to keep Jackie Bradley Jr., you can. You've signed Bogarts. You've got Devers. You've got some okay bullpen pieces. But are the Red Sox a world champion right now? No.
You could be worried if you're them about the health of Sale and the health of Price long-term going into next year. But, you know, they're still in your rotation, and they still might just be fine. So I don't think a complete teardown by them is realistic, but they could say, here, we're not going anywhere this year. Here's a couple of pieces, and we're going to get ready for 2020 or the following.
It should be interesting. A week from tomorrow is the MLB trade deadline, and we'll be talking about that a week from tomorrow here on 101 ESPN, because I think the deadline is actually at 3 o'clock when our show starts.
Yeah, so, week from tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. Coming up, we're going to head down the stretch of this edition of the Fast Lane with a game of Would You Rather. Get your text in to the Hot Shots text line now, 65780. Would You Rather, coming your way on 101 ESPN. It's time for a game of Would You Rather as we head down the stretch of this edition of the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. Chris Ranji is here. I'm Randy Carricker. And with your Hot Shots texts to the Hot Shots text line 65780 and your Would You Rathers, here is Big Sizz.
Guys, would you rather be able to morph your voice to sound like anybody you wanted to, or for just a small period of time, maybe like 5 minutes, be able to change your identity to anybody you want?
I would rather have the ability to change my voice. You can make a living off that. If you can impersonate literally everyone in the world, you would make a terrific living just doing that.
So I can change my identity for 5 minutes and whatever I do in those 5 minutes, I get to maintain.
Sure, yeah.
I'm changing my identity to Bill Gates and withdrawing everything.
There's a $500 limit on the ATM.
I'm going into the bank.
Am I going to walk in Andy Dufresne style?
Yeah, I've changed my identity.
Could you put this in the outgoing mail?
So for all they know, I'm Bill Gates.
What kind of limit do you think his ATM card does have? Does he have an ATM card?
Do you think Bill Gates ever walks into a bank?
No. I don't know.
No.
But yeah, I think everybody's pretty much got the same kind of limit, right? Like if you go into a Quick Trip, the limit's like $400 or $500.
Well, I mean, if you go to a Quick
Trip. Doesn't matter how much money you have in your account.
Right. I think you're right, probably. And that's for your safety in case your card's been stolen.
All I'm going to do, and if I'm changing my identity, I don't have to go into the bank. I can just get the money transferred into Randy Carricker's account.
How does a billionaire access his money or her money?
Talks to his accountant. So that's why 5 minutes would be, it'd be tough.
You don't ever go to the store, do you?
Oh, yeah. Walmart.
So do you watch Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee?
I've seen it before.
Okay. So Seinfeld is like a billionaire. He's got, I think, worth 900 mil or something. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about the American Express Black Card that he said he's the reason they invented it because he said something to the CEO about the idea and the guy's like, that's a good idea. And then they made one and gave him the very first one.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The Black Card, no limit.
I like that.
Buy whatever you want.
Okay. I get one of those. I get in Bill Gates' name.
Get a Black Card.
Minutes. Yeah.
He probably already has one.
Yeah.
Would you rather have it never stop raining or it never goes below 95 degrees?
Never goes below 95 degrees. I don't want rain.
That is a really difficult question for me because I hate 95. I hate humidity. But I don't. Who wants it to be raining all the time?
Like in Seattle, you at least have the ocean. You've got some good stuff. Like here, not so much.
It does stop raining. It isn't literally raining 24 hours a day. I guess I'd have to go with the 95 degrees.
And raindrops that came from the ground. Would you rather see a drone or a robot deliver a package to your front door?
Drone.
They got missiles, though.
Well, not Amazon ones.
Yeah, they do. The Amazon drones have missiles in case you try to steal a package.
Well, robots are probably pretty tough, too.
Yeah. They're made of that liquid metal alloy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you don't want to be messing around
with that. You don't want to mess around with that.
Drone.
Okay, kind of along the same lines. Would you rather have to fight a robot or an alien?
I'd rather fight the robot, I think. I don't know what the alien is or what it takes to kill an alien. I know that if I have a robot and I just get it in a full bathtub, I'm fine.
I'm pretty sure I can beat the hell out of that Honda robot that does box jumps.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about aliens.
We don't know anything about aliens.
They might have mind powers where they can make you do whatever they want you to do.
Yeah. Which robots can, too, probably.
But, they can't do that yet. That's ridiculous.
Spray a robot with a hose. That's all you have to do.
He'll just short circuit.
Yeah.
Did you guys know that Alien and Predator were both aliens?
Yes.
I had no idea.
I just learned that.
Huh.
What did you think Predator was?
I don't know. I've only seen a portion of the movies. I honestly had no idea.
Hmm.
Mike Ryder.
Why don't they call him Alien and Alien then?
Right.
Hey, the Predator was just a hunter.
A tiger?
But why would you call him something different? That makes no
sense. A honey badger?
Because he was hunting humans.
A Nashville hockey player?
Yes, a Nashville Predator. That kind. You know what? They should have made that their logo. The Predator head.
Oh, yeah.
With all the tentacles on it.
Would you rather see the Cardinals get Trevor Bauer or Charlie Blackmon?
Trevor Bauer. Charlie Blackmon's 34 years old, and he's due $41 million, I think, over the next 3 years, something like that, 2 years. Maybe it's $21 million a year. So it's $42 over the next two full, I think.
He's having a really nice year.
He's a terrific player.
There's no doubt about that. But Trevor Bauer is exactly the kind of thing they need.
Yeah.
Blackman is under contract through 21. Mm-hmm. There is a he's got two player options, which you don't see much.
No.
For age 35 and 36, he's got a 21 million player option, which he'll pick up, mm-hmm. and a 10 million player option, which he may also pick up.
He will.
And that takes you through 2023. So I don't think I'd want that either, even though you're getting that production this year, which is really, really good. But Trevor Bauer is exactly what they need.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Colorado splits for Charlie Blackman are pronounced. He's a Coors Field hitter.
That it's true. I don't know if I would worry as much about that, but it is something I'd consider. I'd take Bauer in a minute.
I would take Bauer
in his weird self. I'll take him right now.
Hey, we could use some weirdness. He'd fit right in on this show. He could be a guest of the show.
That's true.
You guys know what the sorority poses are when they take pictures? So there's all kinds of duck face, or they kind of push the butt out. Would you rather, when taking pictures, always have to do the duck face or like the butt out, hands in front of you kind of
thing? I'll do the butt out.
Me too.
No duck face?
No.
What's the duck face?
Yeah.
That one.
Okay. I know what the duck face is. Yeah, I think I'd rather do the stand in the front with the butt out.
How have people who duck face in every photo not figured out that it looks really stupid? And everybody, literally everybody else, thinks it looks stupid.
Maybe people are telling them, oh, you look so cute.
They are.
That's why.
The only people who think duck face looks good are the people who do them. Nobody else.
But nobody
literally
tells
nobody.
Them. That's the thing. People have to be educated about the fact that what they're doing looks stupid.
That's true. You do have to be nice to attractive people.
Mm-hmm.
Randy, do you think you could do that pose with your selfie stick at the same time?
The butt out or the...
Yeah.
Oh, no question.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure. Got to have that selfie stick in there.
It's called the sorority squat, we're told.
Sorority?
Sorority. Is that what I said?
Sorority? Yeah.
Sorority.
Sorority squat. Would you rather have snot start heavily dripping from your nose during intimacy or throw a minimum of 5 full-blown red face temper tantrums every single day? Blackout rage.
What if it's... But is it the crying kind?
Oh, like screaming, throwing your hands everywhere?
Snot. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be unhealthy for you to...
Temper tantrum?
Yeah, 5 a day?
That's a lot.
You're not going to be breathing during those temper tantrums. So I think
awesome.
I would rather do it the snot, yeah.
That is awesome.
By the way, we did get a text from the 636. It said, alien, predator, and my ex-wife were all aliens.
Wow.
Person not pleased with his ex-wife. Would you rather bring back the Oscar Mercado trade, redo that, or take back the Matt Carpenter contract?
Ooh.
I think I'd rather have Mercado back. Because
I think I'd rather have the talent, too,
than
the money.
You can... sit down Matt Carpenter, or maybe even trade him. They traded Alan Craig, so you might even be able to move him based on what he's done in the past. But if you could bring back Mercado and put him on this team right now, that'd be nice.
As long as the Carpenter deal isn't making them go, well, we'd like to be able to get this guy, but we have to pay Matt Carpenter.
Nah, $18 million shouldn't do
that. I'll deal with that, but give me the talent back.
As a fan, would you rather, with the bases loaded, big game on the line, have Albert at the plate or Barry Bonds?
Right now?
In their prime.
I hate to say it, but Barry. Barry was getting walks with the bases loaded on purpose.
Yeah, he was.
He was freaking scary when he was really good, in like 2004.
Yeah. I think I would go with Barry as well.
I love Albert, but...
And if we're going to go without helpers, I'd go with Albert. But Barry with helpers was awesome.
He was the best hitter we'll ever see.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank
you. It's our producer, Brad Barnes. Ronj.
I'm wishing Mark Sanchez the best of luck in his analysis career.
Mike Ryder is always doing a fantastic job as our board operator. And we appreciate you tuning in, texting in, and being a part of this show. For all of us, until tomorrow at 3, good night, St. Louis.